Welcome in to a daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, I am chatting with Ned Schmid. He is the author and founder of the Value View Gold Report. And Ned, I haven't had a chance to speak to you over the last couple months. I want to first touch on what's going on in the silver market. You and I were chatting off mic and you were saying, you know, I'm not always very bullish on silver, but right now the comments you were making does lead me to believe that you have a very positive outlook for silver moving forward. Let's first and foremost just get what you're considering and why you are so optimistic for silver right now.
Well, I think that we have to look at the players with the big money often to see what they're doing in silver. And silver, let's face it, has been out of fashion for years. And the cryptocurrency nonsense didn't help. But a couple weeks ago, silver spiked above 1750 to 1750. That came about coincidental with large speculators being net short silver. And that's a rare position. I mean, hedge funds use the metals to hedge their position, their equity positions. In other words, they buy silver to hedge their long position in stocks. So they went net short. Now, That's a precarious situation because you're shorting a physical commodity, a commodity that doesn't come back to the market. In other words, when you short a physical commodity, you don't have this overhead of disappointed investors like you do in the stock market, where people finally throw in the towel. Silver investors do not go get frustrated at $16 and go to the safe deposit box, get their silver, and mail it into some dealer. They're just not going to do that. And so that was an untenable position. And when they started to cover that, they caused that spike. That position got to almost 17 million ounces of net short. Now they covered that. That gave us the spike. Now they are again short something on the neighborhood of 8 to 9 million ounces. When they cover this time, whatever that's going to be, it's going to spike silver again. And there's a good chance this spike will go above that 1750. We could see $18 on silver very quickly.
Now, Ned, in terms of that recent spike that we saw, I know some people did get encouraged that we did break above $17, but if you look back on a weekly chart, that unfortunately was another lower high. Silver, encouragingly enough, seems to be putting in a nice base and even arguably higher lows, but that one spike that was very short-lived, again, it was another lower high. So does that not have you worried at all?
Well, but that's coming off. Remember, the major low was put in December. That's the primary low we're looking at. That was the confirming low. And so all of that really since the December low is a positive picture on silver, not a negative, in my view. Of course, everybody's got their own view of a chart.
Now, do you think in terms of the speculator's position, and I do agree with you, the more short that they get, the more likely that the short covering will drive the price much higher. How much longer, though, do you think that they can continue to build up short positions? That's one of the things about some of these COT reports is they show you a bias in the market, but they don't necessarily give you a great timing indicator.
No, they don't. You're correct on that, Corey. But thing that dominates my thinking on it is you got to go back to March of last year. March of last year, the large funds were net long over 100,000 contracts. And they have liquidated that position. They've liquidated over 100,000 contracts net. That's a massive sell-off. That means you're getting close to a bottom. And so I wouldn't worry so much about the week-to-week as I would this move from net long of 100,000 to net short. That means they're incredibly bearish. The bearishness in the minds of the traders at these large funds, it's just incredible. They're sitting there, why should I own silver when Amazon's going to be a $1 trillion company? Well, you're wrong on both counts. And the shift in bearishness on silver is just incredible. And the other boost to silver is likely to come from gold. I mean, if we look at the price of gold to the NASDAQ composite average, that ratio, you got to go back to 2001, essentially. 2001, 2002. And the worst case at that time was gold was $345 an ounce. So the positions of these two markets, we haven't seen since gold was under $350. And once the recognition that gold is truly underpriced, and this nonsense in the NASDAQ, we see a bounce in gold, and then the silver people, silver buyers will come in. But I think you've got to be more optimistic at this point on gold, and especially silver, than any time in years. I think the price of silver and gold a year from now is going to shock all of us.
So, Ned, does that mean when you're relating the price of silver and gold to the U.S. equity markets, and you do look at the general undervaluedness that we are seeing, yes, mostly because the U.S. equity markets have been on quite the extraordinary run over the last 8-9 years, does that mean we're going to see a pullback in the U.S. markets, or are we going to see more of a catch-up in the precious metals?
Both. And the reason for that is the... let's call them technology stocks. I'm not sure I really consider Amazon a technology stock. That group of stocks, those popular ones, are roughly 25% of the market. The last time we saw a group be that dominant, 25%, was the financial stocks just before the financial bust. The last time before that was in 1999, just before the dot-com bubble burst. And so those kind of numbers and the fact that the Federal Reserve has raised interest rates 6 times, it'll raise them for the 7th time next month. You're setting up a mania bubble. I don't know what we may need to think of a new word. Going to lead to a crash in the NASDAQ 100 that will shock people, that they never have, you know, most investors have not seen what's going to happen to the NASDAQ 100 over the next year. And they're going to be looking for alternatives. And the only alternatives left are gold and silver.
So, Ned, what about the underlying stocks in terms of silver stocks and especially even in terms of gold stocks? Gold has been, even more so than silver, it's a very encouraging chart. It continues to put in higher lows. And yes, it is getting topped out right around that 1350 to 1375 level. But the fact of the matter is, if you look at that shorter term chart, it is very encouraging. You look at the metal stocks, though, and those have arguably done nothing for almost a year and a half now, just a sideways choppy motion. Why aren't we seeing more interest in the gold stocks? And do you think, you must think, that these are also undervalued?
Well, what we had in the gold stocks is roughly a year ago, a little more than that, we had this spike up in those stocks. It was a parabolic rise. I calculate a small index. You need to use a small handful of stocks. I use 8. And that index of those 8 stocks has been moving in a lateral pattern. In other words, when you go into a parabolic, it crashes. and it moves in a lateral pattern for months. I mean, 12 to 24 months in that lateral pattern is not unusual. And when it comes out of that lateral pattern, it will come out to the upside. And the move out of that is dramatic. That's why I'm hesitant to tell people to pick individual stocks. It's more important that you be in gold stocks than you be in a particular gold stock at this time.
Now, are you watching certain sectors of gold stocks? Do you think that the majors, as they typically do, will lead the charge upwards? Or do you think that these really undervalued, some of the junior stocks could actually start to lead the sector?
I think the large stocks will lead because it is going to be large momentum players that jump in the quickest. I mean, the first money into a market move is large quantitative momentum money. And that's got to go into the large stocks. Then it will follow when people start picking individual names to get into. So I think the average investor, Corey, at this time, it's more important that they own some gold stocks rather than start looking at individual stocks, because many of them don't have the skills or knowledge to get into those small stocks. And some people end up listening to the wrong person and they get bad.
Hey, there is a lot of bad information out there, but if you do listen to what I think some of the good guys out there, then you can build your own almost basket of stocks. Yes, don't go all in on one stock, absolutely, but maybe build your own basket of large stocks and medium cap and even small cap stocks that you have either looked into or you know well. But again, don't be all in on any one or two stocks. In terms of timing, though, Ned, you do sound very optimistic, and it sounds like you're telling your subscribers to be sure that they hold a position in a wide range of metals stocks. But what about the fact that we're coming up to summer? It's already been a really slow year. Why would we expect summer all of a sudden, which is typically even slower, to be a noteworthy one?
Well, you know, if I'm wrong, you got to wait till September for the action. I think the numbers are such and the action is such that I would worry more about not having a position than having established it early. It's going to be more important to be in them than to worry about whether you bought them in June, May, June, or you bought them in September, October. I don't know that I would worry about September that much. I mean, summer that much. And you and I don't normally talk about the geopolitical background. That's for other guys to do. But I think this summer has some things in it potentially that would prevent them from suffering much from summer boredom.
Okay, so I guess what you're more or less saying is you think the downside is over for the most part, or at least limited compared to the upside that you're seeing.
I think the downside is such that people can live with it. I mean, we all have to, you know, we all buy stocks and then they go down the next week. I mean, that's not...
It is true. That does seem to happen.
Anybody who says that doesn't know what they're talking about. And so the upside potential over the next year is so gigantic relative to any discomfort you would have this summer. I just wouldn't worry about it. And, you know, if it really bothers you, don't look at your portfolio this summer.
Okay, we'll leave it at that there, Ned. You point out some of the optimistic signs that you have for this sector. It would just be nice to see some sort of a breakout for the actual metals and some sort of buying coming into the stocks, but that just seems to be the market that we are in right now. It is encouraging on the one hand that they're not selling off, and somewhat discouraging for those bulls that want to see their portfolio always go up. Who doesn't want to see their portfolio always go up? But you are pointing out that, you know what, better to be invested than to miss that train altogether, because you think that train is leaving the station to the upward direction. So, hey, Ned, great chatting with you. Thanks for joining me on this show, and I'll be chatting with you in another couple weeks. Have a great rest of your week.
Take care, Corey.